listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 24 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live. I'm Kyle Sutherland, and Nate will be sitting this one out today. We'll be on sporadically over the rest of the course of the school year, but we're happy to be joined today by Kevin Bohannon, the baseball guru. Most of you know of him, following him through the years with his baseball and football, really his overall knowledge of sports in Arkansas. But as mentioned a couple of weeks ago on the show when we had him on, he'll be covering baseball for us this year. So we're going to go into that fully. We've pretty much fully transitioned into the spring sports. And basically, once you start smelling the grass, you start hearing the mowers and all that stuff that really goes along with spring, even more showers, that whole thing that they say about April showers. If April showers bring May flowers, then what do May flowers bring? And, of course, pilgrims would be the answer, our favorite joke during springtime, but that also means full tilt in basketball or in baseball and softball. And so that's what this show is going to be dedicated to. Like I said, we had a segment a couple of weeks ago on one of the shows that we did that when basketball was still going on, but we are fully transitioned now into baseball and softball. And so, Kevin, it's good to have you, man. Look forward to this spring. I know that baseball's already been pretty fun and we're just now getting into the meat of it.
No doubt, Kyle. Yeah, we're up to spring break and teams are taking trips all across the nation. Some of them are going to the Gulf Coast. I know North Little Rock's going down there. Bryant takes its annual track down to Gulf Shores to play five or six ball games. And then you got teams that are traveling from one end of the state to the other. Brooklyn, the Bearcats, who are ranked in their top seven of our Super 7 poll in 4A, they're headed down to Magnolia to play. Carlisle went up to Lincoln on Friday to play a matinee game. Tried to beat the cold weather that was coming in. So, yeah, the rocking and rolling, getting into the meat of conference schedules right now. We've already had some really good matchups that we'll talk about, and we're starting to see some separation of those teams that are rising to the top and some that are teetering on the edge, and then you got some that have had slow starts and are trying to make their way back.
Yeah, so we'll get into those teams. We're going to go typically the way that we always do with football or basketball. We're going to start from usually the lower classes and work our way up. That's really how we do it, and so we'll keep that same tempo here. And then in the second segment, when we go over softball, we're going to be joined by Jared Hawthorne. He coaches competitive softball across the state, is very familiar with a lot of players and a lot of teams. So we'll get his insight on a lot of the tournaments that really went on this past weekend. Pretty much just about every team, it seemed like, was playing in a tournament on the softball side. He did have some in baseball, but Kevin, we'll get there starting with the 1A. Izzard County, Greers Ferry, Westside, and Taylor right now seem to be the early teams to beat. I know that that's some of the ones that you had close to the top or actually at the top of your Super 7 rankings. But really, what is your take so far? I know that the smaller classes, especially once you get down to 1 and 2A, is the ones that people typically have the most trouble, I guess, keeping up with scores and the whole shebang. And so what is somewhere in there with Izzard County and Greers Ferry and Taylor? Are those still your top three right now? I guess we'll know as the rankings come out this week. But I guess just kind of give us a breakdown on those top three and then maybe a surprise or two that you have in Class 1A.
Yeah, those are really the top three right now. And then I would put Mount Ida right outside of that. I think they're ranked number four right now. We're still looking at some results that are coming in from yesterday. But Izzard County made it to the state finals last year. Their only losses was to eventual champion Biola and then Class 5A Batesville. So they're rocking and rolling right now. They're 5-0. They're 4-0 in conference. They've already beat Westside Greers Ferry once this year. They are in the same conference, so they're liable to play four or five times this year because they'll play a double round robin in conference play, and then you got district, regional, and state. That's how Izzard County got to play Viola five times last year. So you could see that same setup. The thing with both of those teams, they're senior heavy. They got seven starters back. So those are the top two right now. Taylor and Wachita played Thursday, and Taylor won that game 13-7. Taylor's really separated itself as the favorite from the South region. And then Mount Ida, somebody to look out for. They're playing really well right now. They're 5-0 in the year and really have not been tested to this point. I'm looking to see once they get into conference play, maybe test out their depth a little bit, how for real they are at this point.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Taylor, obviously any school in 1A is not going to have a lot to the town, but there's anything that they can do, it's play softball and baseball.
Yeah, their softball program is really good too. And, you know, those teams have made tracks to Fayetteville numerous times where both teams have gone.
Yeah, we'll be talking about Taylor plenty in the second segment there, as I'm sure we'll be talking about them plenty throughout this season as they chase the softball team, as they chase their fifth ring in as many years. So pretty crazy dynasty that they've got going on down there. And then heading to the 2A, Woodlawn, McCrory, Horatio, those are the three teams that you have at the top right now. Now, Woodlawn, I know they've put up a lot of runs so far this year, and overall they've looked like the favorites here about the first quarter of the season to repeat as Class 2A champions. And Kevin, through the first quarter of the season here, around that mark, do you see anybody stopping Woodlawn?
If they are, they're in Class 5A or 6A, and that's what we found out this weekend as they went up and played in the Ozark Invitational up in North Arkansas in Harrison. And they went 1-2, which is good. They're playing 5A, 6A teams. But when they play on their level, they're really tough to beat. The rest of the classification is really kind of tough to figure out, because you think of McCrory with Campbell and Kennan, who we talked about on this show. They won their football state title. Now they're looking to double up and win it in baseball as well. They've been really kind of up and down this year. So that opens the door for somebody like Horatio, who was really young last year, to step up. Then you got somebody like Southside B Branch, led by Easton Swafford, the Arkansas signee in the 2022 class. And they started out playing in the PBR Jamboree, going 0-5 or 1-5, excuse me. And now they've won three straight because they're dropping down playing 2A and 3A teams. So they're getting a lot better right now. Melbourne's somebody else you want to look out for. They're 2-0. They had a really good season last year. Then somebody like Carlisle with Dalton Ward on the mound. He's 6'3", 6'4", 85-87. Frisbee slider. He comes out of a real funky slot from that low three-quarter kind of sidearm slot. So those are the teams to watch out for, and I'm really excited. When we get to regional, it's really exciting because you got Parker's Chapel, Woodlawn, Horatio. All of them are in the same region. So somebody from the north or region two up there, they may face somebody like a Horatio that's a 3 or 4 seed, and that's a really tough matchup because Horatio is one of the top 4 teams in the state.
And then going up to Class 5, or I'm sorry, 5A, that's a pretty big jump, skipping two classes there. I was scrolling through and just happened to see that Class 3A. So you've got Harding Academy still there at the top, and I know going into this week they were 4-2. I can't remember exactly how many games that they played, but then coming into this week you also had Ashdown, Walnut Ridge, Camden, Harmony Grove, Manila. Those are just a few teams to name that have started undefeated, and we're going to see a lot of teams start undefeated because it's the early part of the season. But right now, Kevin, just talking about Woodlawn, I just basically asked you point blank if anybody can stop them this year. Harding Academy, I know that they're loaded, starting with Razorback commits, Cade Smith, who's also, of course, their quarterback. Do you really believe that anybody is going to stop them from winning back-to-back? I know that baseball and softball, they're such unpredictable games, but Valley View challenged them, I know, as of they're really about the only ones that have challenged them this year, and pretty much had a football game against Baptist Prep at 21-18 score. And if there's anybody in Class 3A that knows how to play football, you know it's the Harding Academy Wildcats. But, again, going back to Ashdown, Walnut Ridge, Camden Harmony Grove, I mean, what do you kind of make of this year? Is it, even though that Harding Academy, they do have a few losses to their resume against, you know, some pretty quality schools, do you really think that it's maybe them and everybody else right now, or do you think it's kind of even there at the top?
You know, if you'd asked me last week, I would have said it's them and everybody else. But they're their own worst enemy right now. Against Valley View won 5-4, and that game was played on Thursday. You got number 1 in 4A, number 1 in 3A. Valley View only had 2 hits, and that's a team that had been averaging 12, 13 runs a game. And the problem is Harding Academy is making multiple errors a game and in key situations. They had 4 errors against Valley View that pretty much cost them the game. Gavin Alvetti's playing well along with Cade Smith, Levi Lang. Alvetti's committed to Connor State. Lang's committed to UALR next year. But then you got teams like Ashdown who are playing really well right now. Ashdown's 10-1. Walnut Ridge actually went to the Valley View game because that was the team that Harding Academy beat last year in the state finals and regional finals. Walnut Ridge is already 4-0 this year in conference, 5-0 overall. And they got Manila on their heels, who's 6-1 overall, 2-1 in that 3-3A conference. When we get to the end right here, we're going to see the depth of these teams really show out. last year they had a great three-headed monster, Harding Academy did, in Smith, Lang, and Alvetti. Lang's on the shelf for elbow issues right now, so they have to develop another pitcher because Alvetti's their everyday catcher. That's what he's going to college for. So you can see some issues on the horizon, and I'll mention the Baptist Prep game before we move on to 4A. Harding Academy jumped out in that game 14-2. They had wholesale substitutions, Kyle. Got down 17-16, and Coach Fullerton put his starters back in. They ended up winning 21-18. So, you know, the younger guys, yeah, you want to get them some work. But at this point in the year, you want to make sure your starters are confident enough that they can go out there, put somebody away, and play clean baseball.
And then going up to 4A, we just touched on Valley View. They're living up to their top ranking. Really just haven't been touched other than I think there's maybe two or three games in there that were within a few runs. But for the most part, just been very lopsided in their wins. And then also Lone Oak, another baseball power. They're looking pretty good with some of the top pitching in the state. But Magnolia, PA, Pulaski Academy, Brooklyn, what are some teams that you make there, maybe just picking out five behind there? Well, I guess four teams behind Valley View.
You're right, Kyle. I really like Lone Oak. They started out their year conference play with a doubleheader split with Joe T. Robinson, who came back and subsequently swept Pulaski Academy the other night. But back to Lone Oak real quick. In their sweep against Stuttgart, Razorbacks commit Tripp Sullivan had 12 strikeouts. He's 4-0 in the year with a .30 ERA. The back half of the doubleheader, Steel Eves, which is a great baseball name, struck out 13 Ricebirds. That's not even their top pitcher from last year. William Hudson's playing shortstop. They got Gage Kaiser, Jackson Engel, Spencer Pepper. It's a loaded Jackrabbit roster, so I'm really looking forward to seeing them get through conference play, get through that regional, because they're matched up. Their conference is matched up with Valley View, Brooklyn, and those are the top two right now in the 3-4A. Brooklyn, the Bearcats, they're really young. They got some really good young players right now that they got some experience last year. They got knocked out early against Lone Oak in regional play or state tournament play. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that breaks out. You look at the 1-4A, Farmington, they're going to be pretty good. They got Trey Hill, who's a UCA commit. Nashville, they're starting to get back to their winning ways. But you look, it's really top heavy in 4A right now. I don't really see anybody outside of that top five or six that's really going to challenge Valley View.
And then in Class 5A, so Van Buren, Benton, Batesville, they all came into the week undefeated. I doubt that's the same now. I have not looked, but I know that they all came into the weekend as your top three undefeated there. And so really, I have pretty much the same questions that I had for the other ones. It's like, have they really separated the, maybe those three teams or one of those three teams begin to separate itself? Obviously, we know the history that Benton has in softball and baseball, both extremely good in both. This is what we were talking about with Taylor a second ago, Van Buren, Batesville always in the mix as well. And so, you know, what do you think right now? I mean, it's kind of like seems like a mix of some of the top teams. Well, I guess you got one team in NWA, one team in Central Arkansas, and then one team there as you kind of head up to Northeast Arkansas and Batesville. And so with those three teams there in the mix, who do you really see maybe pulling away as we get into the second quarter of the season?
Yeah, parity, Kyle, is the story of Class 5A. You look at, and if you look at our website at scorebooklive.com and you look at the 5A West standings, every team is 1-1. All eight teams are 1-1 in conference play because they play doubleheaders every week and you had four splits. Talk about Van Buren. They had their first loss of the season against Greenbrier. Greenbrier has Jackson or Jordan Husky, who's a University of Arkansas signee for the 2022 class. He's going to beat most teams that he faces. So then you look at Benton. Benton's 9-0 in the year. They started out conference play 2-0. And then Batesville had a no-hitter the other day against Paragould. Gage Wood, University of Arkansas signee, had 11 strikeouts in five innings, I believe, in that matchup. Those three right there. Then you look at a team like Jonesboro, who has an Arkansas signee and Josh Heinemann. They've got a couple other guys in Heffley and Rindling that are University of Arkansas commits in lower classifications. So Jonesboro is going to have a chance. Marion, led by Gage Watson, who's going to go to Missouri next year, and Chase Armstrong, who's an Arkansas State signee. Those are the other two teams that I feel can really challenge those top three. And then you may mix in Sheridan El Dorado started out really good in conference play as well.
And then finally in 6A. So speaking of kind of, I mentioned how there's one team in 5A and Central, one in NWA, and then one headed towards NEA. It seems like it's an all-West party in the 6A, just from what they've been able to do. I think the two stories there, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it is the dominance of the West so far here early on, and also Bryant starting off not so hot. That's not something that you see, and that's not really something I don't think a lot of people are reading into much. Again, it's the beginning of the year. We've seen teams plenty of times, particularly in baseball, just not look very good, and maybe at the beginning and then pick it up, or sometimes it's the reverse. I mean, you see that in sports all across the board, but do you really, I'll start with this one. Do you really look much into the Hornets' slow start? We'll start with that question.
There are some things that I've seen that were concerning, but I'm not too concerned about it because they're going to figure it out. They have the players, they have the talent. Coach Queck is a great baseball guy. And that was shown the other day. They beat Bentonville West and gave them their first loss of the year. They had started out 0-2 in conference play, getting shelled by Little Rock Catholic 9-1, and they lost their conference opener to Fort Smith Northside 7-2 and bounced back and beat a top-two team like Bentonville West. So Bryant's going to figure it out. But you look at the rest of the Central, it's wide open at this point, Kyle. Cabot's 2-0, North Little Rock, who we started out number 5 in our Class 6A Super 7 poll. They dropped their first 3 games, then they beat Stuttgart 6-4. Now they've won their first 2 conference games, and they just recently beat Conway 2-1 behind a really good pitching performance by Caleb Bryant. Conway's going to be in there in the mix. Like I mentioned, Catholic, Lucas Greer, Luke George, 2 names you need to get familiar with. Greer is going to UCA next year. He's had back-to-back games of 12 strikeouts and back-to-back complete games. Really good arm on the mound for the Rockets. But, the strength is in the 6A West right now, I have to believe. Springdale Harbor in Bentonville, they had a marathon game the other night at Arbets Park. 12 innings. Bentonville pulled it out 3-2. Name in the sophomore class you need to get to know for the baseball fans out there. Rowan Christensen, the catcher for Bentonville. Coaches around the state have raved about him. Coach Denny Tipton at Sylvan Hills, who got his 500th win last week against CAC. The Bears stole 193 bases last year. They averaged about 7.5 a game. Christensen cut them down 4 out of 6 times, and that just shows you how good of a catcher he is. He's advanced for his age back there. So with doubleheaders every week, they play it like a college series. They play home and home in the West. So they'll play at Bentonville West one night and then at Springdale the other night. So doubleheaders every week, you get to see the depth of the pitching staff really separate themselves. But at the top right now, you got to look at Bentonville West, Rogers, Harbor, and then Bentonville as well. Those are my top 2 in the West right now and pretty much the top 4 in the Class 6A as well.
Sorry, my phone went off there. With an Apple, all my stuff is connected, so it works out that way. Got my watch right here, my phone, and also my computer, so that's going to do that. But, well, Kevin, that was a great breakdown, our first, I guess, official breakdown that we've done, because the last show that you had on, or that we had you on, it was right when baseball was beginning. So this is kind of our first recap of the quarter season here. We'll probably mix these up a little bit since – it's our first time. We had to adjust. Really, football was pretty easy. I think that's easily the most convenient sports to cover, at least in Arkansas, just because of how easy it is to find everything. But with softball and baseball, it's really going to kind of be depending on maybe if we have certain tournaments going on this week. We'll preview those or some big game. Not that we didn't have any big games over this past week or really at this point in the season, but really just wanted to give you guys a recap of what we've had so far this year and kind of where teams are in baseball. And we'll try to do that with softball as well once we start that off here in just a second. But Kevin, I know we got spring break coming up this week, so there's not going to be a whole lot going on, but I know you mentioned North Little Rock is going to a tournament in Florida. Is that right? And then there's also, I think, a few other tournaments going on as well.
Yeah. Usually down there, the Gulf Shores area between Gulf Shores and Panama, there's some really big tournaments down there. North Little Rock's going down there. Bryant, and I think you have somebody from the 6A West. I think Bentonville West is actually going down there. They got a really big senior class, and that was something that Coach Chip Durham was looking forward to. And then you got some bigger tournaments around the state. I know Ouachita in Class 1A is hosting the 15th annual Mike Bowles Classic. That's sponsored by Southwest Sporting Goods. And then you got some other tournaments up in Northwest and Northeast Arkansas. kind of like they had the big softball tournament this past weekend with, I think, 30 or 40 teams in it across three divisions. You're only going to have eight in baseball because they can't play multiple games in a day like that. But you're going to have teams play two or three games to get make sure they don't get too tight going into the back half of the season, the back two-thirds of the season, and especially right in the middle of conference play.
Yeah. And so I'll tell you, man, it's one of we're going to get really into this, especially after spring break, because that's when, like you said, the conference play did really tip off, kick off, whatever term I should use, bat off, whatever you want to say. It got rolling really heavily, I feel like, this past week. If you weren't playing in a tournament, pretty much you were playing in a conference game. But once spring break is over, that's when it really gets into it and we get into the big time parts of the season. And it's so great, Kevin, because I know that, you know, at heart, you're mainly a baseball guy. You love them all, but that's always been, I feel like, kind of your first love. But the thing with baseball and softball is there's still a lot of work to be done and you're still pretty busy. But I feel like that's the sport where you can just kind of kick back with your book, taking stats, and just enjoy the scenery as opposed to the fast-pacedness of football and basketball. So I really like this time of year. And, of course, the spring weather, it's hard to beat that. I know many would argue with fall. I think that fall's probably my favorite as well. But, yeah, this time of year, it's just great. You got March Madness going on. The Hogs are still in it. And, plus, we've got baseball and softball. So a fantastic time of the year.
No doubt, Kyle. And, you know, in football, if you lose one or two games, especially in college, your season's pretty much shot. Baseball, they look at a bigger body of work, just like the Razorbacks right now, who are 15-3, 2-0 in conference play, looking for a sweep against Kentucky. But baseball, yeah, you get a lot bigger. And teams like North Little Rock in 2019 can get hot at the right time of the year. So it's about that getting primed up and hitting your peak at the end of April, 1st of May. And then getting on that run to the state tournament, and a lot of things can happen around that time of the year.
Yeah, so that's the thing about our rankings, like with your baseball and my softball ones, we could put some out prior to spring. So this week, as spring break's going on, and then in the next week or two, they could look completely different.
That's right.
I think there's going to be a lot of names that are not on there right now on both of ours that we could see as we get into April and the season beyond that. So. Well, Kevin, it's a lot of fun, man. Look forward to the rest of the spring, and thanks for the update there for saving my butt, because as we could tell, I'm not an expert near to the point that you are. I've been focusing a lot on the softball side of it, but appreciate the breakdown there, and then we'll look forward to talking with you next week.
You bet. We'll see you next week, Kyle.
We're now joined by Jared Hawthorne. He is the coach of the Arkansas Platinum Hawthorne Open Class Competitive Softball Team. They are a travel softball team from around the state. So this guy definitely knows his softball in and out throughout the entire state of Arkansas. And Jared, it's great to have you on, man. Welcome to the Arkansas Prep Extra podcast. You're actually, I think, just the third or fourth person to ever appear on here outside of me and Nate. So definitely an honor to have you, and I look forward to talking some softball with you.
Man, I kind of feel honored. I didn't know I was that special. I'm glad to be here. Glad to talk to you. I know a lot about travel in Arkansas, and I'm learning a lot about high school for sure. Starting to be involved in the high school world now. My daughter's up playing high school, and I'm helping coach with a high school team. I'm learning a lot about where the kids go to school and where they play, and It's a lot of fun. I love softball, and I want to do anything I can to promote softball in the state of Arkansas.
Yeah, I think that a lot of us are in the similar position of knowing and loving the game of softball. Now, I certainly don't have as much in on it as you do, but I have always loved the game, and this is my first year covering it. So I think that in that regard, as far as the media coverage and everything outside of the state championships and when you get into big postseason tournaments and stuff like that, it really hasn't been covered to the point that we feel that we at Scorebook Live feel like it should be. And so it's definitely good to, you know, we feel like that we're putting a heavy emphasis on that this year and have gotten some great help along the way as well. You know, definitely in these tournaments that we're going to mention, there was a lot of tournaments over the last week or so. And the ones that we're going to mainly focus on are the Farmington, Brooklyn Bearcat Blast, and then also the DMAC tournament, which Jared, I know you spent a lot of time at down in Hope. And I know there was also one, the Big Cat up there in Northeast Arkansas, also too, the Ozarks one that Bentonville won. That was also featuring Tuckerman, Mountain Home. I can't remember all the other teams either. DeQueen maybe is, or actually I think, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's a lot of good softball teams there.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's just ones mentioned there. I mean, obviously Bentonville, maybe the front, along with Benton, the top softball team in the state. And then also, too, the one that Sheridan, I can't remember the name of it, but Sheridan was in it. And also Junction City, there was a few other ones. But, I mean, there was a lot, basically, is what I'm getting at, a lot of tournaments throughout the state this past weekend. And a lot of teams that really made a lot of noise, you know, I think in the Super 7 rankings that Jared will also, I will be getting some input from him on that for some of those teams as well. And so too, for the rankings, but nonetheless, a really good week. And then as we head into spring break here into the second half, or really, I guess the second quarter of softball season, and then we'll get into it with the Farmington tournament. So the Bentonville West Lady Wolverines, they won the Farmington tournament over to a Hackett 5-4. That Hackett had beaten Gravette and Farmington. And so I think, as you know, a smaller school here out of the 3A, Jared, you look at Hackett and what they were able to do, defeating Farmington, defeating Gravette, and hanging right in there with Bentonville West. And they also beat Boonville, who we had in the Super 7 rankings as well, one of the top teams coming into this year. And so I look at Hackett, and I see a team that really had maybe one of the best weeks of all of the schools in the state this season so far. I'm not saying that they've had the best week. There's probably plenty that you could point to in that. But as far as this past week, I mean, just what Hackett was able to do there as a small school, defeating, again, a really good 4A team in Gravette, two good 4A teams in Gravette and Farmington, and then also Boonville, and then hanging tight with Bentonville West, a team that we have near the top of our Class 6A Super 7 rankings.
Well, I'm going to tell you, just I personally don't know a ton about Hackett, but after talking to several of the people I know around the state and stuff just in the last week or two, man, Hackett's name has been coming up over and over and over, that they're kind of a team that everybody knew was going to be pretty good, but all of a sudden they're really, really good. And I mean, a lot of that stems from they've got a really strong pitcher that I've been hearing a lot about. I think her name's Mackenzie Freeman. I hope I got that right, but from what I've been hearing, you know, they're a really strong team, and she makes them a lot better. And they're definitely going to be a team to be reckoned with all year this year, for sure.
Yeah, and I'll tell you too, it makes it even more impressive for all these teams. And it's typical for this time of year during tournaments to play doubleheaders and play, you know, X amount of games and however many days. But this one was supposed to be a Friday and Saturday deal, but rain pushed it all into one day. So having to do all of this, you saw many teams. There was quite a few posts about how this team is worn out, where we don't really have much left in the tank, but we were able to do this or do that. And then you look at a team like Stuttgart, which we'll talk about here in just a second. Actually, we'll go right into the Brooklyn Bearcat Blast as we move on here into the next tournament. But the Stuttgart team, really, really good so far. You know, had a semifinal appearance or a semifinal finish last year, have started off pretty good this year, but weren't able to play the championship of their division because I think that was the red division. They weren't able to play that against Valley View just because they had sustained so many injuries. And I know that their pitcher, Emma Banks, one of their ace, she's just a junior. She pitched probably threw in about 350 pitches in the entire tournament, along with a couple of other injuries along the team, that they just don't have a lot of depth right now. So the Brooklyn Bearcat Classic, or the Brooklyn Bearcat Blast, there was 46 teams from around the region. I think pretty much all of them were from Arkansas and Missouri. There may have been a couple of other states sprinkled in there. But the Red Division, Valley View, wins over Stuttgart due to forfeiture. The Ricebirds, again, as I mentioned there, were pretty banged up in that, so the reasoning why they didn't play that. The White Division, East Poinsett County over Jonesboro West Side, 9-2. Gray Division, Midland over Harding Academy, 7-2. And then the Black Division, McCrory, 13-2 over Rector. And Jared, I think that was one of the teams that we've kind of talked about personally here between you and I. East Poinsett County really has blown up. I mean, I don't remember exactly what it was, but they had beaten teams like 60-something to 1 or 60-something to 2 in their first four or five games. Just really came out an offensive power, really, just for lack of a better term to describe them. But That's one team that I've really begun to be impressed with over the last couple of weeks, just seeing what they've been able to do. I know they shot up our rankings, but Valley View, a good team in baseball, a good team in softball, as we've seen there. So that's another one that really impressed me. But I think that, and McCrory, of course, as we expected, they would get off to a hot start. But I think East Poinsett County, for me right now, is the team really in that division that or in that tournament that I look at. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if I saw them making this much noise early, but they have really come on.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, just looking at some of the stats from McCrory, they are going to be a powerhouse, it appears to be. I mean, they're scoring runs steadily, you know, every game, and they're holding people to very few runs. So they're playing great defense. Apparently they're pitching really well, and without a doubt they're hitting the ball. You know, they're scoring runs in bunches. I've talked to several coaches, and, you know, especially in 2A, there's a handful of teams that keep coming up, and McCrory is like the first one of that group that gets mentioned. That them, and then East Poinsett County, they're kind of a surprise team. Talking to coaches around the state, people expected them to be pretty good, and all of a sudden they're kind of like, you know, Hackett was, we were talking about earlier. They're a lot better than people realized they were going to be. They're kind of a surprise team, and they're making noise early and winning a lot of games for sure. I've seen just a few small clips of East Poinsett County, like some videos off of Facebook and some things, and they're hitting the ball very well, very well. So when you can hit the ball steadily, play defense and pitch, it's everything.
Yeah, and this was a really good gauge to kind of get an early season, like an inkling of where these teams are at. And I especially look at East Poinsett County being from the smaller – them and McCrory, as we just mentioned. You know, also, too, and you had Midland over Harding Academy, as I mentioned, in the Gray Division, two smaller schools there. And so I think that this is a really good gauge of especially maybe the 1 through 3A class. And I know you had some 4As in there as well, pretty much scattered all across, you know, the entire state, and regardless of whatever class it was. But I really do think, looking at it just from like what you had said, we know that East Poinsett County coming into that tournament, that I looked, even though they were pummeling people, I didn't really know how to gauge them. And we still are kind of at that point where we don't know how to gauge a lot of teams, because you got to look at what they have played against. Yeah. Now, you can only play the schedule that you are given, and we've said that so many different times on this show. But it was definitely a really good gauge just to kind of see where people are at. And I think that we got that a lot in the DMAC tournament as well down in Hope, which you were at, I know, pretty much all day Saturday. So we'll start with the results. Silver bracket, we had Bloomberg, Texas over Arkansas High, 13-6. In the blue bracket, Fordyce over Arkadelphia, 7-2. I think a lot of people were maybe shocked about that one. Gold bracket, Malvern over Taylor, 8-5. And then really, when you look at the gold bracket, Jared, we talked about this too, you and I, it was Murderers Row, Mount Vernon, Enola, Taylor, Magnet Cove, Bauxite, Malvern. Bradley's another good one in there. Oh, man. I mean, that was for Malvern to come out on top of that, that really tells me kind of a lot where they are. They're another team that will certainly move up in our Super 7 rankings.
Yeah, and I can speak a lot more to Malvern. I know a lot of kids personally off that team, and I watched Malvern play Taylor last night. The championship stayed till 11 o'clock to see it in. And I'm going to tell you, Malvern's defense is very impressive. Malvern's defense absolutely won that game for them against Taylor, because Taylor hit the ball well enough to win that game. They hit a lot of hard line drives and shots to the outfield, things that a lot of times are turned into doubles and RBIs. And I'm going to tell you, Malvern, I can't say enough about what Malvern's outfielders did in that game last night. That ball game was easily could have shifted to Taylor, but Malvern's outfielders just made play after play after play and came up big. And, you know, Malvern's infield solid too. I mean, anytime you got AJ Fike anywhere on your team, that kid can play. She plays short. She was playing shortstop last night. She can play anywhere on the field, but that kid is a lockdown defender. She can smash the ball at the plate. She's a really high end kid, one of the best overall players in the state. You know, with Malvern, you've got the Mingy sisters, Emily and Caitlin Mingy. You got Audrey Carr, that's a good pitcher. You know, Caitlin's a good pitcher. there's just a Bella Rose Berry that just there's a load of talent on Malvern's team, and I'm missing several. I'm not going to try to name every player on the team, but they are just absolutely loaded as far as talent, and their defense is really stout. Not to take anything away from Taylor, because I'm going to tell you, Taylor's got some of the best in the state. I don't care if you're 1A or 5A or 6A, you can only put 9 on the field, and Taylor's got 9 that can go up against anybody in the state and hold their own. Right off the top of my head, Ayla Buford for Taylor is just a lights-out pitcher. She has great ball control, maybe not overpowering with her speed. She throws hard, but not just out of this world. But she has great spin, amazing changeup. She has, I think, 2 different changeups watching her pitch, and her changeups are just – they keep kids off balance. And so she – in 1A, I don't know that there's anybody that can touch Taylor. Just after watching them play Malvern and knowing how loaded Malvern is, and that was a battle. It ended up 8-5 Malvern. It is really, really impressive to watch both those teams play. It feels like you're watching college softball rather than high school softball.
And one I know that you had talked about, because your daughter pitched against them, I think it was early last week, Magnet Cove. That's one that you said that's one you told me specifically one to watch out for. Talk a little bit about them, because I don't know that many coming into this year saw them as a top contender in 2A.
I'm going to tell you, Magnet Cove, I knew they'd be good, and I knew they'd probably win that conference, but I really think Magnet Cove's going to make some noise on the state level. They've got Bella Harville, that's a pitcher. They have another really good pitcher, and I'm sorry that I don't know her name. I think it's Helton is her last name, Heidi Helton maybe, and I hope I got that right. But she's really strong. I know the travel team she plays for, but she'd been injured, and she's just getting back healthy. And then they also have a third pitcher that is going to be really strong. The more innings she throws, a girl named Kinsley Brashears. And they've just got some great hitting. I mean, some of those same kids are great hitters. Magnet Cove is very well coached, and they're very disciplined, and they just don't make a lot of mistakes. And so they're going to play great defense. They're going to hit the ball solid, and then they're loaded a pitcher. So in 2A, I truly believe by the end of this year, Magnet Cove's probably going to make a solid run in that top 3 to 4 spots. I could be wrong, because 2A is super deep, and it's hard to say that about anybody. But after watching them a couple times in person, Magnet Cove is very strong.
Well, and I'll tell you, 2A is very deep. And another class that I've seen really just doing the rankings this week is 4A is extremely deep as well. Particularly, I look at the 4A1, 4A8, and 4A7. And those are the three that – now, I don't know – I would probably say out of those three that because the 4A1, you could almost make a case for just about all their teams to be in the, when you talk about Prairie Grove, Gravett, Farmington, Gentry, like they've all really had a hot start. And then of course, Camden, Fairview, Magnolia right there at the top of the 4A7. Oh gosh, 4A8. I'm getting them all mixed up here. And then 4A7. Yeah. Nashville, they're always good, just pretty much every year. DeQueen's pretty good. Mena's started off hot, but also Bauxite. That's one that I think a lot of people right there, and I know that me, because I'm sitting here, you know, on Sunday morning looking at the rankings of who I'm going to put, and I see at least 13 or 14 teams that probably have a really solid case, and Bauxite is one of them. And so really why I'm asking your input on that is because I know that you have talked about them with me. And they have they've got one or two really good pitchers that I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken. And they also have a really solid win over Nashville. So tell me kind of what you know. Dig in a little bit more on Bauxite.
Okay. Well, with Bauxite, and luckily I know several of those kids, and then I got some more information talking to their coach recently. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the hitting side for Bauxite, there's probably not a more powerful kid in state Arkansas than Emma King. That girl, she's a solid contact hitter. She hits up around 500 contact wise. She's already hit 6 home runs in 7 games this year. She has like 20 RBIs. That girl can hit a ball that's head high and smack it over the fence. I mean, she is just ridiculously strong. She competes in CrossFit and does some things, and that's why she's so strong. But she is just an amazing power hitter. Just She stays really grounded, sets still. She doesn't reach for things. She makes a pitcher come to her, and then she just kills the ball. They have a one hole, their leadoff, and J.C. McClellan, that is a kid that's on base, you know, like 600-700 probably. Lots of speed from the left side. She puts herself on base, and she's smart on the bases. They have another kid, Haley Howard, that's really good. She's a 400-plus hitter, and she's got some power. She bats in their two hole. I mean, their one through six are just lights out when it comes to hitting. Another girl named Casey West, that several people have talked to me about her, including their coach, that she's a sophomore. She's just one of those kids that'll do. She's the one that'll do the down and dirty work. She'll lay down a great bunt. She'll hit away. She'll do whatever the coach asks of her. You know, those, when it comes to the hitters, those are some of the top ones that come to mind. And I've heard a lot about, and after watching them play yesterday, I watched them play yesterday against Glen Rose. And I'm going to be honest with you, after watching them play, I have a hard time understanding how they've lost the game. I mean, they are so strong. They've got a really good junior pitcher in Carly Clark. She's thrown like 33 innings with 41 strikeouts. Only walked like six batters on the year. MJ Birmingham is a freshman pitcher that's throwing really well. And from what I hear from everyone else, they think she may be a really top end in the state type pitcher in the next year or two. She's already thrown 20 innings with like 19 strikeouts. Boxside is just absolutely loaded, and they're going to make a lot of noise, especially on their side of the conference. But I tell you, Malvern and Boxside and Nashville all being over there together, man, it's like the Western Division of the SEC in baseball.
Dude, it's brutal. Like, I'm telling you.
Who's going to beat each other up the worst, and who's going to come out of it and survive at the end?
Right. Are we going to have those teams that they just cannibalize each other as we use in the SEC West during football season? Or is it going to be one of those where maybe, like, you know, the fourth best team ends up winning state? You know, like, you see that so many times when teams are battle tested. So
I'm going to tell you, I'm just looking at a list of some of the top 4A teams. And looking at that list, I mean, and just naming off a few: Morrilton, Farmington, Nashville, Stuttgart, Prairie Grove, Gravette, Valley View, you know, DeQueen, Magnolia, Malvern, Boxside. Harrison's really good.
Harrison's another one, yeah.
Harrison's underrated. They've played some stiff competition. Camden, Fairview, Mena is a lot better this year. You know, Gentry, Brooklyn, Dardanelle, Southside, Westside. I mean, there's probably 6 to 7 teams that have a legitimate chance of winning state in 4A. I mean, they're very legitimate. And then there's another 6 or 7 outside of that that if they have a good run at the end of the year, they could too. You know, 4A is so deep. And, you know, to me, 2A, 3A, and 4A are the deepest classifications. There's great teams in 5 and 6A. There's great teams in 1A, you know, 3, 4, 5, just exceptional teams. But as far as how deep they are, 2, 3, and 4 are just crazy deep.
Yeah. Well, and then – but you look at 1, 5, and 6, and anything can happen in sports, but – you look at 1, 5, and 6, and it's the Taylor Benton and Bentonville show, and rightfully so. When you look at the amount of success that all three of those schools have had, I don't think that we see that quite as much. You know, like you just mentioned there in the 4A with all those teams, and again, that's not to say that there's not other great teams in the 5, 6, and 1A, but yeah, that just goes to show there that with what Taylor has done, with what Benton has done, Bentonville, most people typically just kind of circle them as your automatic state champions. But it is impossible to predict, absolutely impossible to predict, particularly in 4A, but yeah, 2 and 3. But there's still going to be a lot happen between now and then, just in the early parts of the season here. And I guess as we close it up here, last question I have for you, do you know of any – I asked Kevin in our baseball segment with spring break this week, do you know of really any tournaments going on around the state that the listeners can keep an eye on?
I don't know of anything coming up.
There might not be really anything, maybe one or two.
With the next week, most of the state, and there may be some I'm unaware of, but most of the state is taking, you know, the bulk of spring break off. That's kind of – I may not be – I may be wrong here, but I think AAA kind of lets them know that that's what they'd like to have is give the kids a break, let them rest, let them be able to go on a vacation, do their thing, you know. And a lot of coaches try to do that. Now, some of the teams are definitely practicing some. My daughter's team for sure is definitely going to practice a couple of days, but they're going to give them several days in a row off. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of these teams, a lot of the teams that I know, they need this week off. They need this rest because there's a lot of kids that are beat up from playing a lot of games right now. There's a lot of injuries that kids need to overcome, especially pitchers. I know a bunch of pitchers that need some healing up time. And so I'll tell you what I really think we're going to see is with the week or in 2 weeks when we come back from spring break, we're going to see some of the best softball that we've seen all spring so far and maybe what we see for the whole year, because you're going to have kids that are rested and healthy coming off the spring break that maybe haven't been yet or just now getting there, or kids are coming back from injuries. And I'm going to tell you, I can't wait. I'm excited to see the play the week or two after spring break, because I think that's going to be some of the best softball with the healthiest kids that are really ready to go. And we're going to get into the meat of the conference schedules with those, all of those things that go with it, and the rivalries and the things that are going on. There's going to be a lot of big games and a lot of fun softball to watch. Yeah, I know I'm planning on getting around the state as much as I can on the days that my daughter's not playing, just so I can watch other teams.
Yeah, I'm looking at my calendar right now, and I know for March I've got Nashville. So since I live in Benton, I'll definitely be going to Nashville at Bauxite. That's going to be a great one. I know that Bauxite got the 1-0 win over Nashville so far, but right now, like kind of feeding off of what you just said, you know, we talked about with Kevin in the first segment, we talked about basically the top teams in each class right now. With our softball segment, we talked about some of the tournaments that went on. So took two totally different approaches, but I think that going on moving forward, once we get past spring break, it's just going to be, what's this top game? What is this top matchup, whether it be, you know, a power hitter versus a really elite pitcher. I think that's when we're really going to get into the fun of it. And so this is, it's the best, like I was telling Kevin in the previous segment, it's a great time of year. You know, it's that time where people are starting to really work on their yards and smell fresh cut grass. Absolutely great grilling type weather where you sit out and turn on a game on the radio or on TV, or guess in today's world would be more so streaming. But nonetheless, Jared, is a great talk, and really appreciate all of your input. You definitely carried us on this one. I know that as far as the team goes, I'm getting pretty well versed, but man, teams, players, you know, you definitely are clearly well versed, and I really appreciate your input on all this.
I'll tell you something I'm really excited. I thank you for that. Something I'm really excited about and something I'm working on. I'm working on a list of some of the better pitchers in the state, and I knew there were a lot of them, but then as I actually start writing them down and digging into it, how many there are. And then I'm working on a list on the other side of some of the better hitters. And just like what you were talking about, some of those great matchups that are coming up over the next 2 weeks, we've got some of the best hitters in the state. They're going to be matched up over the next 2 weeks after spring break with some of the very best pitchers in state. And those are the battles that I want to see who wins consistently, who beats that pitcher for more than one time out of a game, or which pitcher shuts that great hitter down for the whole game. So I'm really excited about seeing some of those matchups coming up in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're in the fourth quarter of – I kept referring to the softball and baseball season being in the first quarter on the last segment, and here we are in the fourth quarter of the sports season for the 2021-22 school year. I think it's going to be a fun ride, but you can always
listen. It'll
be a blast. Yeah, no doubt. But, guys, you can always listen on the website, scorebooklive.com, under the Arkansas tab in the top left corner, or on Spotify. And also, if there's anything we're missing, please let us know. ARPrepExtra@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. For Kevin Bohannon and Jared Hawthorne, I am Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next time.